Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas. Berit Hadashah Ministries is a ministry devoted to teaching the Hebraic roots of the Christian faith. And secondly, we are devoted to carrying out Jewish evangelism in the nation of Israel, bringing Yeshua the Messiah back to his ethnic people in accordance with the divine order of evangelism given in Romans 1:16, stating that the gospel is to go to the Jew first and then the Gentile. We are currently looking at now messianic prophecies dealing with the ascension of the Messiah in our ongoing study, The Marvelous Messiah, an extensive and detailed analysis of all the major prophecies about Messiah which pertain to his first coming. And we are coming to the end of this extensive study with the prophecies concerning Messiah's ascension. Prophecies about the Messiah's second coming wait to be fulfilled. They are not considered in this study, since we are dealing with prophecies which Jesus as Messiah has already fulfilled. And so we've been looking at prophecies concerning Messiah's ascension and exaltation. And last time we were with you, we saw how that when the Messiah would rise from the dead and ascend to heaven, that he would then give gifts to men. And that brings us now to looking at, from Scripture, what are those ascension gifts that the Lord Jesus bestowed on his church, the redeemed community? Every redeemed, born-again member in the body of Jesus the Messiah, the redeemed community of the New Covenant, everyone has been given a gift by God's grace. Ephesians 4:7 tells us, "For every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Messiah." And so there is no true born-again believer who is without an ascension gift given by the Lord Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit. And it was the ascension and exaltation of the Lord Jesus by which these gifts are bestowed and given. What are some of these gifts that the Lord Jesus has given His church? The ascended, the risen and ascended Lord Jesus has given to the church. Well, first of all, there is the gifts of the ministry offices of the church. Ephesians 4:11. These are the gifts that pertain to the different offices in the church for which the gospel ministry is to be carried out. And they are five in number and order. So the ascension gifts, first and foremost, are ministry, office of ministry gifts, I should say. Ephesians 4:11. Paul says, concerning the Lord Jesus, when he ascended, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, and the purpose is for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, the ministry gifts of the church start with the apostles and end with teachers. And the purpose for this gift, among other things, is to bring spiritual maturity to the body of Christ and doctrinal orthodoxy so that the church can be sound and firm in the true doctrine of the faith. Sadly, today in many churches, doctrine is de-emphasized for the sake of a shallow and superficial unity between Christians and non-Christian religions and pseudo-Christian sects. The latter being those who do not abide in sound doctrine. And unity should not then be pursued in that case. We are not to join ourselves with those who deny the cardinal doctrines of the Christian faith. So, the purpose for the ministry gifts is to equip the church for ministry, to bring about the unity of the faith. Faith here refers to the body of revealed truth and doctrine that constitutes Christian belief and teaching based firmly upon the Word of God. The list of gifts given in Ephesians, namely apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, to this we can also add those Paul also mentions in 1 Corinthians 12. There we have the nine gifts, the supernatural gifts of the Holy Spirit. This ministers the power of God through the church to its members and to the unsaved world. Without the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are nine in number, the church would be a empty, lifeless body. And those who want to say today that some of those gifts are non-existent do so without clear biblical warrant. These gifts are extant until the eschaton, as Paul makes plain in 1 Corinthians 12, these gifts shall remain until we see the Lord face to face. When that which is perfect has come. That is clear. So, that's in 1 Corinthians 13:10, the chapter following 1 Corinthians 12, where the nine gifts are listed. So these nine gifts are good until that which is perfect has indeed come. And that will be when we see the Lord Jesus face to face in our resurrected and glorified bodies, or at least before that, when we see the Lord Jesus in the intermediate state between death and resurrection, when our disembodied spirits will see the Lord. There will be no need for the gifts of the Spirit, and certainly when we are raised and reign with Him. So all of these gifts are still extant today. And a church that proclaims the gospel must have the power of God proving the gospel is true. The church also needs to have the ministry gifts of the Holy Spirit, so that spiritually dead men can receive life from the dead through the gospel and be born again. And so, these gifts have been given by the Holy Spirit to whomsoever He chooses to give them, and they are given to every one of us to receive them and respond to their ministry. Is the responsibility of every Christian to receive the ascension gifts, one, two, or three, or however many the Spirit decides to give one born-again individual. That is our responsibility, to receive it, to respond to it, and to serve the body of Messiah with them. With the giving of these ascension gifts to each one of the redeemed members of Messiah's church, is required. If we do not exercise these gifts, they are then withdrawn, as Jesus teaches three times in the Gospels, in Matthew 13, 12, Luke 25, 29, and Luke 19, 26. Matthew 13, 12, and I meant to say Matthew 25, 29, and Luke 19, 26. Remember, Jesus upbraided the church at Ephesus in Revelation 2, 5. They had lost their first love and were more concerned about dead orthodoxy and doing works instead of spending time first and foremost in prayer and worship with the Lord Jesus. And because of that, they lost their first love. He warned them that if they did not return to Him first and foremost, He would remove the candlestick out of His place. That meaning His presence. The candlestick there is the menorah. The menorah stands for the presence of the Holy Spirit in the church. The first gift, the first ascension gift the Messiah gave when He ascended to be seated at the right hand of God the Father was, of course, the promised Holy Spirit, who came that His anointing, unction, and enablement might be given to all the redeemed members of the church, so that His gifts could be dispersed and bestowed for the exercise of the building up and equipping for the ministry of the body of Christ. All throughout the Scriptures, the gift of the Holy Spirit was promised. Isaiah 44:3, God says, I will pour My Spirit upon your seed. Joel 2:28, in the last days God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. And Jesus said, it was necessary for Him to die, be raised from death, and ascend to heaven so that He could send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to His people. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. And the Spirit was indeed poured out on the day of Pentecost, or Shavuot, which was the birthday of the church. So the gift of the Holy Spirit was first poured out on the apostles, as promised by Jesus in Acts 1, and as carried out and filled in history in Acts 2. Remember that Jesus continues His ministry today from heaven through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit residing in His church. So when you and I minister by the gift of Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, we are carrying out the continuing ministry of Messiah Jesus, who is now in heaven. The fact that the Holy Spirit is with us and indwells us is proof, supernatural proof, that Messiah Jesus rose from the dead. No question about that. The Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book of the New Testament, can be titled the ongoing ministry of Jesus on earth through His church as He rules over them from heaven. And when Jesus left, remember, He said it was expedient for Him to ascend to heaven. Why? Well, we find in John, the Gospel of John 14:12, that it was necessary Yeshua go so that the church would perform greater works than Him. Now, what greater works? Well, the fact that millions, in fact billions, have been saved through the church's proclaiming the gospel and carrying out the Great Commission for the last 2,000 years. These indeed are greater works. Jesus has reached far more many people than He did when He walked this earth now through the church, and thus greater works have been performed. So the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ was necessary so that from heaven He could send the third person of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to indwell the church so that they could be equipped, endued with power, edified and enabled to carry out Messiah Jesus' ongoing ministry on earth. We have a solemn responsibility before the Lord, beloved, as we carry out the gospel ministry and the teaching of His Word to the nations. This is a continuation of the very ministry that Jesus had while He was on earth, ministering for 3 years in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. Moving on, let's look now at how the ascension, what did the ascension mean for Jesus Himself? Well, His ascension was the final victory, or I should say the final triumph of the cross. When He ascended to heaven and now sits at the right hand of God the Father, this is a work of ultimate triumph and victory over all who oppose God, both human, physical, supernatural, and demonic. He rules and reigns over all things, Father having subjugated everything in existence under the feet of the ascended Messiah. Furthermore, when the Lord Jesus ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father, it was further confirmation that His work of redemption for the purging of our sins has been completed. He is no longer a sacrifice for sin. His once-for-all sacrifice having been accomplished on Calvary, the Lord Jesus now sits with the satisfaction of knowing that all that the Father has given Him through His atoning work will be redeemed, elected, justified, sanctified, and finally glorified. We read in Hebrews 1:3 concerning Jesus that He sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Here again, prediction was performed for centuries before the ascension. David wrote of this triumphal enthronement after Messiah's ascension. In Psalm 110:1, David says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Notice here, the Lord said to my Lord. So even in Psalm 110, we have a distinction of persons in the one Godhead. The Lord said to my Lord. It's not one person talking to himself. That would be ludicrous and nonsensical. No, it was the two persons of the Godhead speaking to one another. The Lord, that would be God the Father, said to my Lord, that would be God the Son, sit here until I make your enemies your footstool. That happened with the ascension of Messiah Jesus. When He came into the throne room of heaven where God the Father sits, He enthroned His Son to be seated next to Him as the intercessor for saved sinners. During the present age, when this age is completed, Messiah Jesus will stand to receive His church at the rapture. And when He returns to this earth, He will come riding on the horse of victory, righteousness, and judgment. And we shall follow with Him in that great heavenly train as we descend to earth at the Mount of Olives to watch Him defeat the multitudes of armies gathered in Israel in their attempt to destroy the chosen people, Israel. During the Lord's 3-year ministry on earth, He did little sitting down. Of course, we are told in John 4 that after He was weary, He sat down by Jacob's well. And even then, it was to wait so that He could bring the waters of refreshing salvation to a Samaritan woman. But now, since Messiah Jesus' work of redemption is finished, he sits down. And he sits at the right hand of God in an equal position, a place of preeminent honor, supreme exaltation, and one that clearly shows God the Son's co-equal position, power, and authority with God the Father as they sit together and reign over the universe from their mutually shared throne. Twice we read, though, that Jesus stood up from his throne. Once when he welcomed the martyr Stephen into heaven. Stephen was facing a terrible death by stoning, saw not only the glory of God, but Jesus standing, waiting to receive the first martyr of the Christian church. Such a change posture of sitting to standing in this instance clearly shows that Jesus had risen from his throne to greet his servant Stephen, who had sealed his testimony with the blood of martyrdom. Then, going forward, prior to Jesus coming to the earth in judgment at the second coming, we see Jesus called the Lamb, standing as if he had been slain. Revelation 5, 6, and 7. And that is, he will stand to receive worship from the raptured, redeemed from all the ages when the church is caught up in the air and taken to the third heaven to be with her Lord and heavenly bridegroom forever. He will stand to welcome them into his presence. What a glorious day indeed that will be. When Jesus stands again after the church has been raptured, it will be in preparation for his return here. He will stand, we are told, in Revelation chapters 5, 6, and 7. He will stand between the throne and the elders, and this will be a first step to the assumption of his blood-bought inheritance and to assume his earthly throne on earth when he returns with power and great glory. So currently he sits enthroned as our forerunner and representative before God the Father. And at the rapture he will stand to receive his heavenly bridegroom, us, to himself. And at the end of the tribulation period he will stand again as he mounts the heavenly white horse of war and descend to earth to execute his judgment and destruction of all the wicked and evil and those who will oppose his earthly reign. So a lot going on here with the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the blessings of the Messiah's accomplished ascension is the fact that he is now universally present and accessible to all. Remember when he gave the Great Commission, Jesus said, "All power in heaven and on earth is given unto me," which then equips and empowers the church to carry out Messiah's ministry on earth in his physical absence. Not only that, he says, "Lo, I am with you always until the end of time." Matthew 28, 20. This is made possible because now Jesus has sent his Spirit to be with the church. Herbert Lockyer, in his great book, All the Messianic Prophecies of the Bible, is right to point out concerning this, that with the ascension and exaltation of Jesus the Messiah, he ceased to be the seeing local Christ, became the universal Christ by the Holy Spirit's advent. And so now that the Lord Jesus is ascended and exalted and has sent His Spirit. He is present everywhere. By the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. That is of a great comfort to the Christian, whatever circumstance he's in, whether it be the Chinese Christian who has been tortured and mistreated in prison, the Lord Jesus is there with him in spirit. Or if it is the American Christian praying in the privacy of a safe home, the Lord is there in times of quietude, persecution, and distress. Why? Because He has ascended to heaven and given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, dwelling with us and comforting us, leading us into all truth, equipping us for ministry, empowering us so that we can carry out this ministry. Praise the Lord. And so, the ascension of Messiah is necessary so that His Spirit could be sent. And it was also necessary for the exercise of Messiah's priesthood as our intercessor before the Father. Now, let me hasten to point out that His priestly intercession does not involve ongoing sacrifice. He already made that once for all eternally perfect sacrifice at Calvary. Now He pleads the merits of that accomplished sacrifice before the Father on behalf of the believer who has accepted Jesus' death as the sole basis for the forgiveness of all sins. So should the believer, and when the believer does sin, as we all do daily, he can go to the Lord Jesus in prayer and plead the merits of His atoning death for himself or herself, knowing that the Lord Jesus has made payment for all of our sins. And because of that, we stand approved and accepted before the Father with the perfect purity and righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to us. That, my friend, is good news. We do not stand in our own righteousness, for as Isaiah tells us, they are as filthy rags. No, we have a priest, a heavenly high priest who has ascended on high and now makes intercession before the Father and pleads, they are not guilty because I have paid for the penalty of their sins, to which the Father accepts this sacrifice as, Paul tells us, a well-pleasing, sweet-smelling savor. Praise the Lord. When Jesus ascended, He also assumed the ministry of heavenly intercessor, a ministry He will exercise all through this church age from His ascension to the rapture of the church. The writer of Hebrews tells us that when Jesus ascended into heaven as our priestly intercessor, He did so as our forerunner. Hebrews 6:19-20. It's an interesting word there, forerunner. In other words, Jesus prepares the way in advance for us so that we can also have open, unhindered, and direct access to God the Father through the priestly mediation of Jesus Christ, His Son, the ascended Messiah, our great high priest who stands before the forgiving Father. Yes, the ascension made all of these things possible. The ascension gifts of ministry and the gifts of the Spirit so that the church can carry out the ministry of the ascended Messiah on earth while He is physically absent. And the ascension gives us the Holy Spirit whereby we can do these things. And Messiah has ascended to be our priestly intercessor for the entire duration of the present age. Well, I see I'm out of time. Until next time, Shalom, Yeshua HaMashiach Alechem. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.